You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Welcome to episode 15 of The MemoCast. This week's episode is titled Going Stag, because once again I am left here alone to host and fend for myself in this cruel, vicious world. But I do have a big announcement. For the foreseeable future, I will be enlisting a rotating cast of co-hosts to guest star with me on the show. Mostly just friends, but we'll see if we can't finagle something, and so we're going to call it Superstar September. So it'd be fun to, you know, to get different friends of mine who listen to the show or just want to host, what have you, to really get in on the fun. Should be an awesome experience. And we'll have a list of who will be here probably in the next couple of days. I've got like three or four interested parties. So I've got, like, if I can assign them their different weeks, we'll have a lot of fun. So just want to put that out there. Other big news, just got confirmed maybe an hour and a half ago, confirmed for press for Stanley's Kamikaze Expo happening this Halloween weekend, and it looks to be exciting. I went last year, had fun. I went one day. This year I think I'm going to try and do the whole weekend. We'll see how that goes. Should be a blast. Yeah, so Kamikaze Expo going down. MemoCast will be there partying. Should be a rad time. And with all that stuff out of the way, we're going to go into some newsworthy notes and just give you a heads up of kind of the headlines we're talking outside of the newsworthy notes. We got a review and just slight discussion on Assault on Arkham. What else do we got? We have some SDCC related news. Some more DC related news in regards to movies, like Cinematic Universe, not the Cinematic Animated Universe, or whatever the heck it's called. What else do we have? We have, what is it? What did I even write there? Oh yeah, Dino Charge. that honestly, that should be in the newsworthy notes. That I'm dumb. And then we have some Anita Sarkeesian news. So that is really interesting, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But first, here's more news from the Narrowsphere. I can't do it. I really can't do it. All right, so a near final Super Smash Bros. Lineup has been leaked, according to some screenshots found on the internet cesspool that is 4chan. We got, I guess, three more confirmations for the cast of characters from which you can choose that should round out a good portion of the roster, and included there, we saw, who do we see? We saw Bowser Jr., so we saw, was it Shoku from, I can't remember the name, and then but the big one is, depending on who you ask, we saw the Duck Hunt dog, and I don't know how I feel about those characters. I honestly, I feel like Bowser Jr. is a bit of a waste. And the Duck Hunt dog is kind of cool, but I feel it's more of just a novelty I don't really care for. I feel like we could have given those slots to other characters, but, I mean, if the people are into it, then they're into it, you know. I'll still get the game. It's got Mega Man. It's got, like, I'm going to buy a 3DS for this. I'm not going to invest in a Wii U just yet. But I got to play as Mega Man. That is, without a doubt, for sure going to happen. So there you go. Next thing, it's not too big, but Oswald the Rabbit will be appearing officially at Disney's California Adventure starting September 14th, and until, I guess, they decide they don't want to have him there. So check that out. Recently, there was some news about The Tick. The Tick TV show coming back onto Amazon. But from what it looks like, it was just a rumor. The TV show creator said, yeah, that's just a rumor. You guys have been bamboozled. And that was a bummer, because to see Patrick Warburton once again donning the costume would have been awesome. but it's not happening. Let's see what else. We got Joaquin Phoenix apparently in final talks with Marvel to be their Doctor Strange, and if that were to happen, I would approve of that casting. I think it would be really rad, but we'll see what happens. You know, obviously, again, it's just hearsay, but you know, this sounds like something that could pan out. I feel like this is a sure thing, unlike the Tick and many other things beforehand. So yeah, that's gonna do it for. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna add one more thing, and before I go into some DC discussion. So the Dino Charge just recently announced their cast. Power Rangers Dino Charge announced their cast for at least the main five. And with that announcement, they announced the first female black pink Power Ranger. Now, to most of you, that may not sound like a big deal, but we've never had a black Power Ranger that was also the Pink Ranger. That stuff has never happened. Which I think is cool because, you know, usually, like, pink is, like, the spearhead, like, female. Not to say that when we, like, you know, like, the yellow or whatever color female ranger is, like, nah, who cares? But it's, like, you know, it's just, you know, pink just the way it's pushed in toy stores. That's just the main go-to gal. So it's really glad to see Dino Charge doing that. It's been, what, 21 years of Power Rangers? You know what? Better late than never, you know? I mean, the cast of Power Rangers has always been fairly diverse, so, you know, it's nothing, you know, like, new to see, you know, different races, which is glad. I'm glad they've kept up with that tradition even from day one, so hopefully this Dino Charge will be awesome. We're sad to see Super Mega Force go, but, you know, they're going to roll out with a bang with the Super Mega War, you know, bringing back some classic Rangers, like Jesse David Frank portraying Tommy, the green, the white, the red Turbo, the red Zeo, and the black Dino Ranger. And Selwyn Ward, first black Ranger. I can't even do Andre 3000. I can't even do Black Nerd's little Selwyn Ward tribute thing that he does. I'm not even going to try and jock him. I'm not even going to try. You know. And with that, the newsworthy notes is done. We are done with that. So let's go on to some DC discussion. The first big thing that I want to talk about is, I keep saying the big thing, everything's a big thing, we don't talk, you know, nothing's tiny. Assault on Arkham came out, last week, if I'm correctly, it might have come out the week before, but I'm pretty sure it came out last week, and, I picked it up, I got the Blu-ray Ultraviolet, DVD combo pack, and, my mom got, like, a new TV and Blu-ray player, and I had to help her set it up, because it's just what sons do, I guess. And so, in testing that Blu-ray player, I watched the movie. I mean, yeah, I didn't really need to watch the whole movie to test it out. But, I mean, if I was there, why not? And, damn, it was great. It was a fantastic movie. There's a couple of little things that annoyed me, mostly towards the end of the film. But overall, I gotta say, you know, it was superb. It was really good. You know, what was funny is because it was titled Batman Assault on Arkham, but for the most part, didn't really, you know, Batman, I feel, was, like, kind of second fiddle. He wasn't there for, like, half the movie, and I'm definitely okay with that, you know, like, we got to see a Suicide Squad movie, and, you know, Batman obviously he pops in when necessary to, you know, to do his Batman thing. But, you know, we got to see some characters, you know, got to see the, you know, villains highlighted, you know. You had Captain Boomerang, Killer Frost, Harley Quinn, Deadshot, etc., etc. And it was great cast, all excellent voice actors portraying their respective roles. Lots of, you know, like, laugh out loud moments. I mean, I will never look at the phrase Yahtzee the same way again. That's just not going to happen. You know, lots of action, you know, it's PG-13, so they, you know, they cut a little loose, you know, you saw some gunshots, some head explosions, good stuff, you know, what I'm all about, I'm into it, and, yeah, like, really, the only complaint I have is, like, the major one, at least, is towards the end, There's some chaos going on, and someone presses a button that releases all the inmates at Arkham. And it's like, for some reason, these inmates are like in their like their costumes already, or in their like just their natural habitat. Like, for some reason, like the minute this button is pressed, like Bane's suit turns on and injects him full of venom, and it's like, so this guy is just constantly connected. Like, he's already, like, they have him connected to his suit and his, like, supply of venom for what reason, and then he's like, he bulks up, like, instantly, which is funny. And then, on top of that, you know, like, for some reason they have Poison Ivy, like, in this greenhouse full of just deadly, dangerous plants, and it's like, oh, yes, let's keep her there, you know, like, what could go wrong with that idea? I mean, you know, it just that part kind of killed it for me a little bit and brings it down a notch, but the rest of the movie is so well done that I'll let it slide, but I have to at least complain about that. But, you know, could be worse. Could have been other problems. I wish they would have just straight up advertised it as a Suicide Squad movie, but I know that DC, like, has had this problem before, where it's like, if it's not a Superman, a Batman, or Justice League in the title, the films don't tend to sell well in their eyes, you know. Selling well is relative, depending on who you ask. And they even did that, like, there's like a Supergirl heavy movie where it was just like Batman and Superman. She wasn't even listed in the title. In fact, when you watch it, I don't want to say disappointed, but you're kind of like, this is a Supergirl movie, and it's a good Supergirl movie. Why the hell did they not call it that? You know, and it's like, executives are like, oh, but the new, I don't even want to get into it. You know, that's just something else going on. But, yeah. So we're going to talk a little more DC, and then we're going to go into a musical break. And there's some big... Everything's big. No, there is some shocking DC-related news. And so Warner Brothers just registered 4 different websites this past week for 4 potential movies. And so they registered titles for Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Shazam, and the Justice League, which gives us a clear-cut picture of the next 4 movies they want to pursue. And so that's just a little tidbit. But the big news, which was actually just announced maybe an hour or so ago, this episode is late because of Labor Day weekend and because I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. But you got caught me at a good time, so we get to, you know, announce some big news. Well, we're not announcing it, but I get to share it with you for those of you who may not caught it or, you know, discuss it. And that is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, formerly of the WWE, has been officially cast. He's made the statement that as Black Adam in the Shazam film. No real clear-cut pictures to when production on that starts or when the release date is, but now of him announced and the you know, the website registered, I can only say it's foreseeable future. So probably the year following Justice League Dawn of Justice, perhaps. You know, we'll have to honestly wait and see how that goes, but I'm into it. I've been into the idea of him as either Black Adam or as Lobo, and I guess Black Adam kind of works a little bit better. If you really want to get into it, he has that look. So I'm excited. I love seeing The Rock either in the ring or in the movie theater. Preferably in the movie theater these days, because when he's in the ring, he's just not there enough for my liking. But I back the people's champion. I'm all about the Brahma Bull in this role. Next week, I guess we'll probably talk a little bit more into detail. But for now, just know that I'm pumped and that it is exciting. DC is, you know, is getting their butt in gear, and it's nice to see them, you know, kicking some ass and getting their whole cinematic universe laid out. It's a very good time right now to be a comic book nerd. And with that, we're going to take a musical break. We're going to play 2 songs. We're going to play a song by Walter Mitty and his Makeshift Orchestra off of their new record. We're going to play a Sleater-Kinney song. And then when we come back, there's discussion of San Diego Comic-Con. Anita Sarkeesian and some other stuff that I just listed, but I can't quite remember, and my writing is too illegible. So keep me here at the NemoCast. I went on a time bomb.
I thought you were taking Kathy out tonight.
Why do they call it taking out? I took her to a restaurant. It wasn't out, it was in. I would say I'm taking her in, but then she sounds like a pair of pants.
That was a fresh cut from Walter Mitty, and before that, a song by Sleater-Kinney. A little bit of a rhyme going on right there. That was not intentional. I originally wanted to play a Bikini Kill song, but I felt that the songs that I wanted to play might have been a bit jarring for most of the listeners, because I assume most of you just aren't Bikini Kill fans, so I felt the Sleater-Kinney would still work out just as well. And so hopefully you guys are into those songs. If not, my bad. I like what I like. And now that we're back, I'm going to pick up where we left off and go into a quick little discussion about Anita Sarkeesian. And for those of you who may not know who she is a woman known for her series of... women, exposing tropes of women in video games, in particular exposing, negative tropes, kind of how, they're, the damsel in distress and things like that. And the whole point of her series is to really better the video game industry as a whole. You know, it wants us to, really look at this medium that we enjoy and find a way to make it better and make it safer for women, or just more inclusive for women. Not even just so much in what we're playing or viewing, etc. But also in how women can participate in it. You know, and so I think the series is really it's something very necessary, especially with how volatile just a lot of the male gamer fan base has been, and being like, oh, women just stay out of her games, blah, 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 And so she's done a great job. She started this thing via Kickstarter, but ever since she's tried, ever since she started doing this, she's been getting a lot of flack from, these super angry, misogynistic, entitled male gamers, and it's gotten a little crazy as of late. This news has been going on for a little bit, but she got some death threats recently, and I guess from what I could tell is that there's some person just not all there Who was, like, stalking her and was able to, like, find her address and was, like, posting about it. And she had to, like, file a report with the police and leave her house. And it was just really unfortunate. And that's just putting it lightly. It's for, like, I mean, pardon my French, but it's just pretty much fucked up. And beyond that, it only proves what she's been saying this whole time is that, you know, like, this subculture has been very antagonistic towards women, whether it be them participating either as creators, participating as, you know, people who can critique it, participating as people who are involved in enjoying it, and just, you know, critical or even just antagonistic towards seeing them as part of the medium, like, creatively, you know. And it's really horrible. I mean, women have always been there. But they've obviously been working hard to make their presence known, but even more so, like, take control of this thing that they love and that they enjoy. And there's been a lot of pushback, and it's really unfortunate, and it's a bummer to, you know, hear that this is the kind of stuff she's dealing with, but I applaud her efforts and sticking with it, even with all this, like, hate and just vile, you know, like, attitude and just bullshit being thrown at her. So I give the women props, and hopefully, you know, they can find whoever this crazy stalker is. I hate using the word crazy, but just whoever the stalker is, and really just punish him and be like, hey, like, this is not right, this is not okay. You're only illustrating why she needs to do this series, and you can go piss off. So hopefully we'll have some kind of update on that soon. She seems to be okay now, which is good, you know. And the series, if you haven't checked it out, I think it's called Feminist Frequency. Or you can, if not, you can find out more info on her Twitter at, what is it, Femfreq, technically. Femfreq. I am very bad at this, as you can tell. And yet you still tune in. Yeah, and with that, we're going to go into some San Diego Comic-Con news. So there was an announcement earlier today that the planned expansion for the San Diego Comic-Con, for the convention center in San Diego, which hosts Comic-Con, has been halted. It's been stalled at, I guess, the original method in which they had planned to achieve the funds to, you know, make this expansion happen got nipped right in the bud, and that does not bode well, because from what I have read and from what I've heard and talked to people about is essentially that this expansion was one of the reasons why San Diego Comic-Con, or at least Comic-Con International, signed on to stay with the San Diego Convention Center up until 2016. And so I believe this expansion was supposed to, you know, go into effect this November, late this year. And so now with that not happening, there's a lot of questions going on with, you know, after 2016, will Comic-Con International move away from San Diego? Will they stick with it? Will this expansion ever happen? If so, when? And if Comic-Con International decides that they do want to leave San Diego, you know, where will they go? Obviously, everyone wants them. I mean, San Diego is a great spot, and I love where it is. But if it can't house the growing fan base, then it needs to go somewhere that can. And so, obviously, Los Angeles is in the mix. Anaheim is in the mix. It could go either way. And I know Anaheim already has WonderCon, and you know, LA has various other cons, like, what do we have? We have Anime Expo, you have Stanley's Kamikaze, etc. But, I mean, neither of those are as big as Comic-Con International. Granted, Anime Expo does come very close, and probably within the next few years, you know, could be on that same level. I was there this year, and it was packed. It was full. And I know that some people, like, have negative views towards Comic-Con these days. And I still have fun. It's hard to get in, but I still have fun. And a part of me was really excited for this expansion because this would alleviate the stress of making it hard to get in. So that, you know, however long it would have taken to accomplish, it would have been like, hey, there's now more space, we can sell more tickets, and it won't be such a pain in the butt to get in, and more people can come in and have fun. So now if that expansion essentially halted for the foreseeable future, if not permanently, it's like, well, what do we do? You know? And like I said, like, if they have to move it, they have to move it to somewhere bigger. I'm more than okay with that. That means more people can have fun. But one of the things I liked about it is just the setup. Because for Anaheim, if they were to go to that Anaheim Convention Center, don't get me wrong, it's a nice convention center. But just the way it's set up, you're right across from Disneyland. Things are, you know, packed. It's kind of a madhouse. Not to say that Comic-Con International isn't a madhouse, but it's definitely it's just not as nice of a setup, because you can go to Comic-Con International and you walk right across the street, right past the trolleys, and there's the guest lounge district. You're there, you can have fun, there's bars, there's restaurants, there's tons of off-site events. If Comic-Con International were to move to Anaheim, you couldn't do that. It's just there's no space for that to be done. You know, and then if you went to the LA Convention Center, you still really couldn't do that there either. You know, it's like there's some space, but really for all the off-site stuff, it's not really going to work out. So I mean, granted, I would love there to be a closer drive for Comic-Con International, but it's nice to go to San Diego. It's nice to have fun in this area and see how the city transforms. And so hopefully the city can work to make this expansion happen. I'm sure it's you know, not even just culturally but financially, it's a great event to have in the city. All the businesses are booming. You do not see anywhere, you know, empty. Every place has good business. It's a nice little boost for that whole week. And then I mean, San Diego is just a beautiful city. You know, what is it? America's friendliest, America's nicest city? I forget what the catchphrase is. But point is, I hope this gets resolved, and I hope this gets resolved in a way where we can see the San Diego Convention Center able to expand, you know, its services and its size and its capacity, so that Comic-Con International can stay there and bring us an awesome event where more people can enjoy. But we'll just have to see how it goes. I mean, right now, this barely broke, like, this morning, so who knows, honestly, what's going to happen with that. We'll just have to wait and see. And then with that, I mean, that's pretty much the end of our show. I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode by myself. And it's funny, because if you engage with me in person, you know, I talk my ass off. But it's weird when you're in this state where you have to kind of just keep going, and it almost feels like you're talking in a vacuum. But I feel it's only helped me become better at organizing my thoughts, which at times can be a big cluster fucking a mess inside my brain. But hey, you know, like I'm getting somewhere. So thank you guys for sticking with me. Episode 16 will have a special guest host who I'll be announcing over the weekend, and it'll be out on Monday for once. This was supposed to be out yesterday because I took the holiday off. I went to work and saw some friends' bands play after work. But when I finally had the time to record yesterday, I was tired, and I just knew that it wasn't going to work out, that I was going to fall asleep or just not give my A game. So I said, let's do this tomorrow morning. And so here we are. Episode 15, going stag, and hope you guys enjoy it. Remember, tell your friends, follow us on Twitter or on Instagram at TheNemoCast. We might invest in a Facebook. Who knows? At this point, I can call all the shots and not really have to confer with anybody, but something will happen. So thanks for listening to this other half episode. I'm coming in at you midweek. Maybe the next episode might do the same, do a midweek release, only half the size. I feel like it's a little less more to digest, but I keep hearing different things, so it's really hard to gauge of how long this podcast should be. Anyways, thanks for listening. Take care, and bye, guys. It's time to say goodbye.